hey, somebody likes it on Twitter. So if you've ever wanted to say something to us or at us in 140 characters, you can do it. We're at somebody underscore likes because Twitter handles are short and weird.
Do you guys want the surprise recording intro, or do you want to just jump right in?
Oh, Jesus, Mark, you just did it. You can't just fucking, like, do it and ask us, like, if we wanted that. Like, and now, but, see, I'm getting primed because right when you said that, I looked up to see if the line was moving.
And, well, when they move the goalpost on you all the time, you start to look at the end of the field. That's all I'm saying.
Did you make that up?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You should make bumper stickers or T-shirts.
It's my working out my prison job. Hey, we have a special guest. Well, we're a man down.
There's a death in the family. Not really.
No, yeah, we're a man down, and we have a special guest. So I guess we're netting out pretty much the same. So playing the role of Ryan tonight. Who is under the weather and can't join
us. Son of
a bitch.
I'm not
sure he wants to take that on.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's playing the role of Ryan, yet he doesn't have a bottle of liquor in front of him.
No, maybe that's why Ryan's not here. But anyway, our good friend, friend of the show, Chad Swiatecki, is back with us today. And Chad, welcome.
Good evening.
Yeah, we'll get into why I roped you into joining us again today when we talk about what we're going to talk about.
It's a long and sordid tale.
Tonight. But yeah, it is full of twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. Should we say
get into it?
Let's get into it.
All right. I'm Shane.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Mark.
I'm Chad.
Somebody likes it. All right, Skrilly report. So, in the continuing saga of the biggest douche, I when referencing this guy, I keep seeing the phrase in quotation marks, "the most hated man in America," and that's saying a lot. That's
yeah, that's
you're a fucking asshole.
It's a high or very low bar.
Yeah. So as we've talked about the last few weeks on the show, he put his Wu-Tang Clan. He bought the sole copy of this Wu-Tang Clan Once Upon a Time in Shaolin record for $2 million, and then he put it up for sale on eBay and said, "Well, I might not even sell it. I might just break it in two because he's that kind of dude." Then last week he violated his conditions of bail and he went into jail. Well, then it was revealed this past week. That it turns out that Wu-Tang album that he spent $2 million on, the Wu-Tang Clan and people, they're like managers and all these people, are basically saying, like, it's not a Wu-Tang album. This producer, Silver Rings, like, he recorded various verses for this, like, solo RZA album, and then he patched it all together to make it sound like they were all rapping on one coherent thing. So basically, haha, fuck you, Martin Scully.
And I remember I read some of this, and in one of the quotes from Skrelly about all this, he said something that made it seem like he hadn't even listened to the thing.
No, he said that he put it on in the background of a party that he had, and nobody was really into it, so he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Again, haha, fuck you. You paid $2 million.
That right there is some 1% shit. Like, you spend $2 million on a piece of art or something
and then break it
and then just have it and don't even like look at it or listen to it or assess it in any way. You just do it as a status symbol. That is my 1% goal for one of these days, Kevin.
There you go. Oh, good.
I don't think you're that much of an asshole.
I'm working on it. Okay. I'm working on
goals,
it.
Yeah, baby.
That's what Martin Scully should write. Like when he gets out of prison, he should write a book that's like, how to be a complete douchebag asshole. Like, God knows he could probably make some money.
Well,
that
in the
way.
Spirit of the record, I'll write the book, put it under his name, and then everyone will sell it for $2 million.
Damn.
Boom, I'm
idea.
Done.
One copy.
Yeah, only one copy.
Fine by me.
Yeah, that news of that guy just makes me tired.
One other thing I want to just talk. There are a couple of statements to Bloomberg, And the guy, the producer, Silver Rings, who is being accused of, like, you know, taking the isolated verses and putting them all together, he said that the album's creation was, quote, too complex to explain in a soundbite. But all participating Wu-Tang artists were paid in advance. So he's not answering the question. And then, so Shkreli, when contacted by Bloomberg, telling him about this and asking him what his thoughts were, his one word, the one sentence response was, quote, ha 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 ha, period. End quote. So
did this thing not, like, make the news before he actually?
I don't know. I feel
I thought that, like, this thing was, like, hyped up, that Wu-Tang was producing this album. There would be one copy.
No, like, it was
that's
hyped
how
up.
He jumped on it,
right?
I
mean, yeah.
Wouldn't these people from Wu-Tang at some point kind of speak up and say, "Wait a minute"?
Yeah, I don't know.
This isn't a Wu-Tang
album. I was curious about the whole thing myself, but so, but there had been apparently a widely held theory by people in the know or people peripherally to people in the know that this really wasn't a Wu-Tang album. So, who knows, man? I don't. But
I'm sure. I'm sure. Well. Again, worth reiterating, anytime this guy's name comes up, it just makes me tired. Like, I'm tired of hearing about him. Beyond that, you know, like, you sort of get what's coming to you. So, anyway, in other litigious news, thanks to Yoko Ono, the Polish soft drink brand John Lemon is having to change its name. Like, that totally happened.
And John Lemon?
John Lemon. And yeah, it's really great. So anyway, the company, there's a Pitchfork article. The company's now agreed to change its name, the drink's name, to, quote, On Lemon. I was really hoping it was going to be Orange Harrison, but
there it is.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, boom. Anyway, but while the drink company originally denied the allegations, Ono's lawyers pointed out an instance when they had used his likeness in a wall mural along with the company's logo. Other advertisements have depicted Lennon's signature round glasses and the phrase "Let It Be," which is a McCartney song, but whatever. So,
oh, that's good stuff.
Anyway,
so this soft drinks marketing company just basically is like, let's just do dad jokes. Dad jokes is our entire marketing.
Kind
scheme.
Of, yeah, maybe so. Like,
yeah.
But it said Ono's lawyers warned the company that they face costs in the range of £5,000 a day to 500 quid, I guess, for every bottle sold. It must sell up to the last of its John Lemon drinks by the end of October.
I gotta get my hand on some of
those. Seriously, you got the hookup.
Somebody's gonna buy a bunch of those up and put them on eBay. Yeah. Speaking of eBay,
hey Martin Shkreli.
Martin Shkreli, yeah.
It is the funniest thing that I have read in a while. So anyway, and they have this very, like, super serious picture of Yoko next to the article, and I was like, you know, you feel like behind closed doors that, you know, she had to go, like, in whatever Yoko Ono's voice sounds like nowadays, though, this is stupid and kind of ridiculous. But also, fun day to go to court. So, anyway, let us pivot and jeté and talk instead about our friends at Blackalicious. And that's the reason why I drug Chad in here tonight, is because Chad's one of two people that I mean, I know more than two people, but Chad's one of, yeah, well, I mean, I kind of count you guys. But anyway, Chad and my college roommate, I both knew to be big fans of this album, and I've just never, well, for whatever reason, like, it just had never been in my orbit. And the people who, like, even among the people who like Blackalicious, like, this is the record that seems like it gets the spotlight. And even doing some of the cursory research I was doing, in addition to soaking up the album itself, like, you know, there's not a clunker. Like, they haven't put out a record that seems like it's not, generally speaking, well received by most critics. But this is the one that seems to be getting some of the high five material. So, Anyway, and Chad, you might even have an insight or two as to some of the things that were going on around the time that this record came out. And you were talking, we're a little bit before we went on, you talked a little bit about some of your days at CMJ, which, for if you're listening at home and or in your car or on a surfboard, stands for CMJ, was College Music Journal, New Music Monthly,
yes,
which Chad wrote for many, many years ago and which doesn't really exist anymore in that form.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but welcome. And yeah, so when I decided that we were going to cover this, I thought you might be able to add some unique insight.
Because, you know, if you're going to chop up a 15-year-old hip-hop album, mm-hmm. you really need four white guys, not three.
Yeah.
You need four.
You
yeah.
need
and
four.
So
well,
I'm
it would have
been fourth.
Five. You would have been the
well,
fifth. You know,
don't step on the joke, man.
Oh, shit.
Fuck. Yeah.
So here I am.
Anyway, yeah. No, but generally, again, generally speaking, it's like they all seem to be pretty well-received. But this one, mm-hmm. and, you know, the thing is, I'm always fascinated, generally speaking, by where these how these acts coalesce and where they come from.
Yes.
You know, these guys went to high school together, and even though they ended up really kind of mostly coming up in two different towns,
mm-hmm.
And are listed as being from Sacramento. So
yeah, and you know, I will admit that I'm not a devoted scholar of Blacklicious. Like, this record is like, you know, I've spent a ton of time with this record and know, you know, a fair bit about them, but I more just knew them as part of this really amazing late 90s, early 2000s hip hop scene out in the Bay Area around Quantum Records for the most part. So you had these guys, Dilated Peoples, the Jurassic Five,
DJ Shadow.
Yes. Lateryx. Lyrics Born, just tons and tons and tons of for what in a lot of instances is referred to as backpacker rap, indie hip hop, that sort of thing.
Right.
And these guys were that whole group or that whole scene put out some amazing records. It was like the Seattle, the early 90s grunge moving out of Seattle, but for hip hop in terms of just amazing records. None of them blew up as much as that stuff did, but like each of these groups put out at least one classic level kind of amazing album, and Blazing Arrow is the one for Blacklicious.
Right on.
In my mind, anyhow.
Yeah. Shane?
I thoroughly enjoyed this album. I've never listened to these guys before. I've heard their name for years. There's something about the name that sounds a little kitschy to me.
Maybe that's why I never caught I don't know.
I don't know what, man, but I don't know. I was missing the fuck out. This shit was badass. And there was a couple of tracks that I don't love. I don't love the Ben Harper one, but, man, for the most part, I mean, there's a lot of tracks on this album, and they all... It's a thoroughly weird fucking record, too.
Yes, like, it's grand.
There's some weird-ass shit going on, man. But it starts out, you know, like... Not the introduction, but that second track, Blazing Arrow, with using that Me and My Arrow, Harry Nilsson, sample.
I thought you'd eat that up.
Yeah, it's just great. But, you know, I want to say this. Like, it really, really, and I was like, what is it that is really doing it for me? And then we got the track 6, 4,000 Miles, which arguably is the best track on the album. And I was like, oh, yeah, it sounds like Power and Numbers in a lot of ways, the Jurassic 5 record that came out the same year. And that's because there's a member of Jurassic 5 on that track.
Mm-hmm.
And Cut Chemist from Jurassic 5 is in later on the album.
I love Cut Chemist. So
Yeah. I love Jurassic 5 that much. But I think that Power and Numbers is in my favorite rap album of the aughts. And this is coming in real close to that. I thoroughly like this. I'm really curious to hear what Ryan thought about it, because I feel like he could have gone either way, because it's his kind of style of hip hop, but uh-huh. it also there's a lot of weirdness going on in the background,
mm-hmm.
and he's kind of the wild card with that stuff. He doesn't go in for whimsy very much.
Well, the thing that struck me, and I'm with you. We'll imagine what Ryan thought about it, or have him come in and tell us. When we're talking about other stuff, next
I was gonna tell him to text us, but he's sick.
Yeah, I think hopefully his fingers work. Anyway, the point is, there are a couple of things that stuck with me as I was listening to this. One was the fact that this duo mm-hmm. has only put out four albums. Right. The last one came out in 2015, like 10 years after the previous one did. And so it's like when we, and I have listened to, Shane, what was the record that we covered when Mark was in, what was the Gangstar record? That's what it was.
Yes.
So when we listened to Gangstar, like I've listened to, like I've gone back and listened to that show a few times. And one of the things that I remember from that show was Shane and I had a conversation about, like, I was like, that the album that we covered for that show had come out 4 years after the previous record. And I was mm-hmm. like, who cares? And Shane was like, not in hip hop. You have to put stuff out all the time in hip hop. Well, these guys really seem like for the first three albums, like they were putting stuff out about every 3 years or so.
Well,
like not often.
Right. But yeah, normal album cycle for the times.
Yeah. I mean, but that, it comes out a little bit different. What I'm saying in hip hop, because things change so quickly. And what I mean really by that is mostly like chart hip hop. This is like, you know, for want of a better term for this, it's underground.
This is album hip hop. Like,
yeah,
this,
right.
This thing
but it's also, it's a different thing than say, like, you know, like there's a shorter cycle in hip hop in general, like the top 40 hip hop. I mean, rather it's like every 12 to 13 months rather than 24 months. Like mm-hmm. you see it happen a lot quicker, that shit changes so quick. I mean, there are people that don't fall in that paradigm. You know, Kanye West will take his time on that. But he's somebody that's seen as a, you know, somebody that's so overarching trendsetter that, you know, he just follows the beat of his own drum.
When those guys put out, when you get to that space or Jay-Z space or anybody that's...
Jay-Z's another good example.
Like,
of that.
You know, like when those guys put out an album and it's an event, it doesn't really matter.
Those guys are legends that who will not be diminished and, you know, like by letting things pass them by. I mean, they're like at the apex of that genre and always will be.
Yeah, so the time length between when the records came out is just something that I notice in hip hop now that I didn't notice before.
Sure.
Excuse me. And then the other thing is, and because we haven't specifically talked about them, the rap lead on this for this band is Gift of Gab, and the DJ producer is Chief XL. And the other thing that I noticed was that Gift of Gab, and this is, it seems to be his hallmark, like, and it's not this way on every track, but like there are a number of these tracks where it's like lyrically there are literally calisthenics that are happening, like the guy's doing heavy lifting in terms of like how much he can pack.
It's pretty amazing. Songs.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, in the beginning, like upon first listen on some of these tracks, which I have warmed to over repeat listens, like I was like, I'm not sure I'm into it. Like some of it.
I thought the same thing. It's a little much. Yeah. It was kind of throwing me off the beat, like how much he was packing in there. But it didn't take me repeat listens. It took me just a couple of songs before like I righted that. And then when I went back and re-listened to those songs, I really liked them again.
Well, and when I mentioned last week that we were going to cover this on this show, one of the things that Mark dialed up after we were packing things up was, Mark, it wasn't the Today Show appearance from, who's the kid that played Harry Potter, who's like 30 now?
Radcliffe.
Yes, Daniel Radcliffe did that Alphabet song from another record.
Mm-hmm.
Black.
I saw that. Yeah.
that was you and me last week.
Was it you and I? Well, I also talked to Mark.
Okay, yeah, okay, all right.
About different stuff.
Thank God, because
Mark's no looking at me.
Mark's saying like, how many old fashions did I have that?
But that just goes to show how my mind works or doesn't. So anyway, yeah, Chad, that was you and I then. Anyway, the point being, like, I thought that was particularly fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you know, at the time, it's like outside of context. I was like, okay, it just felt like some of the tracks where Eminem feels like he's trying too hard. Anyway, ultimately, you don't get that same. There's not the sort of Olympic rapping that happens on every single track here. There's a nice variance. There's a really great, I think there are some really fascinating guest appearances. Some of them land more than others, but we'll talk about that more. Do you guys want to listen to one?
Let's.
Why don't we do the title track first?
Deja, hazy ways, my blazing arrow. The race that range from Asia way to Rio de Janeiro. A crazy craver, look, today's the day that in a major way I make you say, oh look, he saved the day and also paved the way. Working my days like razor blades, today and days away from now, okay, okay. I'm like a laser ray, keeping the stage of play. In dangerous ways, dropping the phrase that pays all day the same of fame. But ageless ways, a cagey great displays, oh hey, this ain't a game. Those days away, that's if you came to play, you'll all behave insane. After we change the game, it won't remain the same.
A fade away.
So make your days and play this tape in your Camaro. Amazing phase, your Deja, hazy ways, my blazing arrow.
Blazing Arrow, like a hip hop number wrapped around a little bit of a Harry Nilsson thing. So
Harry Nilsson did a lot of different stuff. So like, I think he would have approved of that.
Rose from the grave to be part of.
If he rose from the grave and he had to stroke his beard, he would be. I think he would be like, that's all right. I like that.
Yeah, I think he would too. Now, during the break, Chad, you were telling me a little something about before we went and listened to this track. We were talking about some of the guest appearances that were on this record.
So, and I pulled something before I came here tonight from the CMJ New Music Monthly review of this album. This is just a little snippet of that review regarding the guest list on this record. The two members of Blackalicious managed to sculpt a distinct vision amidst a diverse sonic palette, even though it's impossible to ignore the overwhelming guest star laundry list. Saul Williams, Zach De La Roca, 66% of Dilated Peoples, Ben Harper, Cup of Instant Cred, Gil Scott-Heron, the increasingly ubiquitous Miho Hattori of Sibo Motto, Sean Lennon, Charlie Tuna, Questlove, and what the hell, was Macy Gray busy or something?
Yeah.
That line could only have been written in 2002, by the way.
No, exactly.
When was the last time anyone thought about Macy Gray?
Right.
But, I mean, we were talking about, and that doesn't even name all the guests on this record, but the thing that I think is really remarkable about this album is with all those guests, it's still a distinctly Blackalicious record. Like, the guests never really overstep or blot out Gift of Gab or Excel. Like, they're all in service of the songs that I think are very distinct, and they all find their space, which is
some of them land more than others, I think, but
I get what you're saying. Like, sometimes I wouldn't even think about the fact that like there were guests on there, it seemed to flow so well.
That the Zach De La Roca one is kind of a weird throw in at the end.
That one and the Ben Harper one are my two, like, even the Ben Harper one actually kind of gets toward the end of it. I was like, all right, I get it now, but I still don't love it. Ben Harper's one of those dudes that, like, as a human being, he just seems awesome. I've met him and he's so nice, but I just really can't always get behind like what he's doing musically. But you know, that might just be me.
He was very busy circa 2002.
Yeah. Well, he deserves it. He's a talented motherfucker. I mean, that's undeniable.
Anyway. Yeah. So, you know, that was like, that's the title track. And, you know, I do think that like by the time that you get to track number two, it's like you sort of have a, at least I kind of had a sense of, like, not necessarily, like, I know where this is going, but I was like, okay, like, I think it's definitely going to be interesting. Whatever the journey is going to be one worth taking.
Yeah, I think interesting is the right point. There's all these things in there where, like, the songs, they'll just, like, it's sort of reminiscent of what Cut Chemist did in a lot of that J5 stuff where there would be just little talking snippets in there. There's a lot of that in this too, but there will be like these weird little things happen where like old men are singing at the end of this. Or just, there's all these weird tiny little things that go on. And if you're not really listening, you might completely miss it. But if you catch it, you're like, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like in a good way.
I like the little bit where the guys are just like walking in the bus and seeing things going on in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's not an overly done thing. It's very subtle. But you're like, hey, Miss Johnson, how you doing? But, you know, it's like just little tiny stuff like that, you know, little vignette stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, if you blink, you might miss it. Or if you're not paying attention, you might not really like even stuff that goes out just stuff that you might not be really listening for or really hear. And then when you think about it or re-listen to it, you're like, oh yeah, wow, that's fucking cool as shit, man.
They're almost like they almost feel like Easter eggs, right? Like they're not,
yes,
you know, like these little pop-up moments that repeat listen, like you get rewarded for repeat listens on. Okay, so we probably got time for one more before we go to the break. Shane, I know that there's a track that you want to listen to, but I'm thinking maybe we should, you want to save that for the second half, or do you want to do it
sure,
now?
Sure, I don't care.
Okay, cool. We haven't talked about the contribution of Questlove, who co-wrote one of the tracks and played drums on Nowhere Fast.
Wasn't he a producer on this record too, or did he maybe just produce the
Wouldn't
song?
I got lost in all the names. I don't know.
There's a lot of contributors.
I mean, hip-hop's like jazz records in a lot of ways. It's like, ooh, true. You can really measure who did what.
They just walk in the studio, somebody flips a coin, you know.
Pretty much.
Kind of how that works. Yeah, so let's do a little bit of Nowhere Fast.
I check and try to recollect how I just let you die. And now I wallow in these seven ties of yesterday. Girl, you're really gone. I guess that's how it just should be. I had big plans though yesterday, but now you're history. Today's a mystery. You took pieces I miss of me. I keep on digging deep, trying to find that kid in me. We had some really good discussions back then, didn't we? Befriended me, but now we don't speak like we're enemies. And all I got is memory.
Missed opportunities. That's what it's about, gentlemen. Missing some opportunities with the ladies. You know, ruminating. Feeling some sadness.
No regrets.
I thought that was like a spoken word piece you had written, and you were just like, you were just letting us know right then.
And we were all just kind of like mouths agape, just staring at him like, where is he going with this?
Some sort of imaginary moleskin.
I thought he pulled it up on his computer, and he was like reading us some spoken word that he had just recently written, because he was inspired by Blazing Arrow.
No, that's just how I talk now.
I'm like, that's funny. I didn't see Kevin do Angel Dust.
If you did just start talking like that, that's your new inflection. Yeah. I wonder how long it would be before somebody not in this room would be like, Kevin? You okay, buddy?
Yeah, right. I don't know. It'd probably be me.
Do you have a mini straw?
Yeah, right. Maybe. go big or go home, as they say.
I think if you want to change your rap for the next 20 by 2, you've got it.
Sure. It's exactly what I'm going to do. Anyway, but yeah, no, it is a song about, about the, you know, missed love opportunities, and it's punctuated by keyboards and kind of a low cello in the mix. And anyway... and essentially it's this laundry list of things that Gab goes through that he talks about that he'll get done tomorrow. And yeah, tomorrow never comes, and then you get older.
Live for today.
I like it. Just all of the joy just dropped out of your voice there at the
end. It's really try sell the sad, sell it. Anyway, but I like that track, and you can really tell, like, you know, obviously Questlove has a very distinct drumming style. And I was like, oh, is the Tonight Show on? But no, it was just that song from 2002.
Well, there was no shitty Jimmy Fallon humor either, You knew that.
So angry.
Can I throw in a just complete random memory about Gift of Gab here?
Yeah, sure.
So I want to say it was like in South by 2013. No, maybe before that. I can't remember. The Beauty Bar was still open, so it was maybe earlier than that. But I saw him... at Beauty Bar. So, you know, a tiny place on Red River, packed club during South By. And he's not a small man. He's got a lot. There's a lot of Gift of Gab. He's a big, big dude. And he's wearing a coat in March. So, and the guy didn't sweat.
Oh.
Like, I'm like, does he have some kind of a metabolic problem? Because literally the glandular disorder. Like I'm in there in March, then I'm sweating my ass off because it's, you know, packed room.
Is the next album going to be called Electrolysis?
I don't know. It was really bothering me. Like I actually mentioned it in my review of that show for the Statesman. I was like, I got to throw this in here. I don't know if he's in good health, you know. So anyway,
maybe there's an air conditioning unit in that.
Like, no, because like his stage mate.
Had a portable air conditioning.
Didn't he have some, I don't know, kidney stuff?
Maybe, but I don't know like what that would mean. So maybe
I don't know. I doubt that they're related.
Circulatory things that like stuntmen wear.
Yeah.
Mark's doing this thing with your hand. I don't even know what that is. Are you swimming or dancing?
Pipes in the coat.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
Hey, so everybody, I just got a check in from Ryan. If you guys want to hear what he is. So Ryan, for those of you listening, is very under the weather this evening, and
couldn't join us.
He could not join us, but I said if you're so inclined and you're not too sick, if you want to text us a few of your thoughts on the record, which he has now sent, relatively succinct, but because he is sick, I cracked my phone last night. Awesome, huh? He said, okay, this is quoting from Ryan. Blackalicious is a stupid name, but it's a pretty great record. See, that guy should write like music reviews. And then
have an opinion.
Then the only other thing he said was, ask the coworker if she had heard of them. She said she, quote, would never listen to a group with that name, end quote. And she's black. She does, however, have Goo Goo Dolls tattooed on her. So... Or Goo Goo Dolls lyrics.
Tell him to take his medicine. He's hallucinating.
You know what? Let's just pack it up, guys. We're not going to get better than that.
Yeah, Ryan. Oh, he said his personal favorite check is First in Flight. But, you know, that's good to know, Ryan. That's something that you, like, if you, like turn-ons, turn-offs. Turn-ons, First in Flight, Blackalicious. Yeah. I don't know. Should we go to the break?
Yeah, we're probably a little overdue to go to the break. So why don't we do that next?
So it doesn't happen very often, but I get the middle this week, fellas.
Yeah.
Producer Mark.
Hey, yeah. You know? And I won't take you through the whole strange stream of consciousness that led me to the point that we have arrived at for this intermission, but I will just mention that Bjork just released a new video a few days ago, and it's a very trippy video, as you would expect from Bjork.
What?
But that's not the video that we're going to watch.
Oh, tonight. Iceland.
We are going to watch some Bjork, but let's go back a little bit and let's check out her song, It's Oh So Quiet.
So still, shh, shh, you're all alone, shh, shh, and so peaceful until you fall in love, simple, the sky up above, simple, is caving in, wow, wow, you never been so nuts about guy, you wanna laugh, you wanna cry, you cross your heart and hope to die till it's over, and then shh.
Oddly, the question that stays with me after watching that video, which I don't think I've seen in at least 15 years,
yeah.
Toward the end, as she's venturing outside, there are three costumed pillars. People in pillar costumes for
oh,
you
sure.
only see the feet.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the casting process like to be a costumed pillar?
That, out of yeah, that video, then, like, that's what stuck with me.
Like your agent calls you like, all right, I got a plot for
yeah,
you.
Oh yeah, and here's the thing. who didn't make the cut to be a pillar? Like, are you waiting on that call from the casting agent?
Hopefully they just took the first three people if they were, maybe they had like a height thing or something.
See, have you ever been a Doric column? No, just Corinthian.
Yeah.
See, not what we're going for. I don't know where we can make that work.
I have never seen that video, and I am a huge fan of that song. I love that song so. But you guys know
it is totally a show, Spike like, Jonze video, is it not?
It's totally a Spike totally Jonze video. Yeah, it's great. I love the shit out of music like that. Like, I mean, it's like right in my wheelhouse. I always thought that was one of her songs because how would, I mean, she would of course in 1995 have done or four or whatever. Like, I think it was 95.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, would have done something so weird. I mean, she would do. In the middle of, like, oh, let's do this, like, we're doing this, like, post-industrial kind of pop stuff. Oh, but you know what? Let's do, like, a full-on, like, 1952 musical-sounding song with full horns and stuff like that. But it was not a cover. It's a cover of a German song from much earlier, in the 40s. It's a cover of a cover. There was a cover of a German song, and then hers was a cover of that.
You know, it occurs to me that song is actually the closest to our intro and outro music for this segment of, like, probably anything that we've ever played.
Oh, by far of anything we've ever played.
Yeah. Anyway, I love me some wacky Bjork. Like, I don't know what color the sky is in her world, but, like,
I think that's redundant.
Well, yeah. Well, wacky it is. Bjork. Yeah, sure. Totally. Yeah. But, yeah, no, she's... I remember, you know, 1,000 years ago... In the era of the boombox, when all the crazy Sugar Cubes fans, and then when she, you know, embarked on her solo career, you know, it seems like, I don't know, like she is a very unique place in the musical spectrum for me, and
undoubtedly.
But she had some hits too. That's the weird thing to think about. I mean, she was someone.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's funny when you said, Mark, that we were watching this video. I often get these two. This one, because it came out around the same time. This one confused with Big Time Sensuality.
Big Time Sensuality,
also, which takes place largely out on the street, almost entirely out in public on the street.
Right.
So I was like, wait, which is which? But okay, yeah, and so. You know,
very different songs.
Basically, it just looked like she shot La La Land before that happened, like, you know, 25 years in advance.
You're kind of right about
and
that.
Could have saved a studio, like, I don't know, lots of film and probably some awards.
We'll never know.
Anyway, no, fine choice, Mark.
Yes, very good. I haven't heard that song in a long time. I've never seen the video, and I will guarantee you this. I'm going to listen to that song many more times.
Do you guys remember, like, in the early 2000s when DVDs were the thing, you know, before Netflix killed that market, when there was like, I think Spike Jonze put out a collection. The guy who did the White Stripes Lego video, whoever did that one. Like, they're director-specific DVD collections of videos.
I do remember those. I think I had the Spike Jonze one.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really cool thing. Like, that was a really cool era that, you know, like, people would collect these videos on DVD and just have them all in one place. Now we have YouTube, so it doesn't matter.
And it
would have
been shit like this, and then the Christopher Walken thing, the...
Fatboy Slim.
Yeah. Fatboy Slim number. Anyway.
What a time.
Telling you.
Weapon of choice.
Look at that, you guys. You guys are blowing me away with
steel trap over here.
Look, man, I couldn't tell you what day tomorrow is, but I can talk to you about... All right.
And does it matter?
Not really.
Shall we get back to the matter at hand?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
So one of the things that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about with regard to this album, and again, we're back on Blackalicious Blazing Arrow. If you just joined us, it's Blackalicious Blazing Arrow. Anyway, so the one thing that we haven't talked about is just the dichotomy of the East Coast, West Coast stuff. Like, these guys don't really... It seems like they managed to kind of avoid that thing altogether, and I'm sure some of it's timing, but also... Mm. Also, it's like they're not wrapped up in the... It's not the... We spend a lot of time typically when we cover a rap album talking about braggadocio and, like, sort of how, you know, how much chest out it is. And this record doesn't really necessarily, there's maybe a little bit of that, but not much.
It gets into the weird stuff. A lot of it, you know, lyrically, especially like the I can't think of the name of the track right off the top of my head, but the one with Cut Chemist, it's just weird, and he's just rapping about like chemical calisthenics.
That's what it is.
Thank you, producer Mark. And that song in particular, I was like, this just reminds me of De La Soul, like this like random wordy weirdness that like came out of nowhere. So,
I mean, rapping about subatomic particles and not June Spoon type rapping, like like involved kind of Rakim level.
Right. Yes.
Like
pretzels, like essentially like just weaving
but,
things.
But such a weird
like word pretzels, Mark.
It's just such a weird like it's just so again, there's just so many like ridiculously weird things on this album. Like at some point you just have to either ignore it and just embrace the beats or embrace it and embrace the whole thing. And that's by the time we got to that by the time I got to that song, I was like, oh, this is just like fucking crazy De La Soul, like early 90s New York weirdest shit hip hop.
Well, the other thing we haven't talked about much is like, okay, so this record's been out there for a while. It's clearly it's well canvassed and revered in some circles. And surely and we've talked about all the guest appearances that happen here. What we really haven't spent any time on is what it's influenced. Like who can you hear like strains of Blazing Arrow and this act?
That's a hell particular. Of a question. I mean,
I got a couple.
Like nothing jumps to mind, but I'm not, you know, I
well, an era's changed too.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't consider myself like learned enough in like, you know, the entirety of hip hop contemporary or post this hip hop to know exactly. I mean, let me get back to you and think on it for a minute. So talk amongst yourselves.
Sure. Oh yeah, I definitely don't listen to enough hip hop these days to have any idea.
Well, maybe the better question is like, so it seemed to be like something is a little bit in the water that there were a certain number of acts that were like, you've got a wordsmith and you have a turntablist.
Sure.
And some, you know, and obviously with J5 and some of the other acts, like they expand on that formula, but really like the basic like kind of power duo of this type of act was like you got one guy on the mic and one guy who is working all the samples and scratching and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess I'm curious, like, I think it's easy to kind of compartmentalize this record as a product of its time. But I also think that like these guys have sort of shown themselves to be pretty consistent outside of that and not necessarily influenced by, you know, by evidence by the fact that they put out a record in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're still rocking their thing, doing their deal.
Yeah, I mean, and I referenced earlier kind of that Quantum Records, which these guys were on before they were on MCA. Scene, it was kind of cloistered is kind of a weird word, you know, like that was very self-contained and not.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
And that has its pros and its cons because it's super, super duper distinct, but then it can also become, you know, any system that doesn't have new blood coming in can get a little bit, you know, stagnant. A
couple step behind.
Yeah. But one thing that I've always thought about this record in particular, like the thing about indie hop and backpack rap is too much of it. And I love the Jurassic 5 a ton, but too much of it devolves into kind of rapping about rapping.
Right.
And that gets old real fast after the wordplay.
Because it feels like, I mean, it is literally navel-gazing.
Yeah, but this gets to what Shane was saying earlier. It's like they're just taking you on weird-ass rides. The De La Soul comparison is very, like, right on the damn money. Like, they're just taking on weird rides and getting kind of psychedelic in a lot of places. And just taking you on some adventurous stuff. So I dig that. That's one of the many, many things about this record that makes it stay with me so strongly.
But I will say directly the inverse in some ways to that De La Soul thing is that the music is so solid. Like I love a lot of those of 3 feet High and Rising.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really want to listen to that whole record anymore. Like, it gets a little too novelty. It gets a little too cutesy. And as weird as this record gets, it doesn't really feel novelty and cutesy to me sometimes. Like,
that's a type of fine line to walk sometimes.
It is.
It's hard, yeah.
Well, and, you know, when I hear you say that, what it almost sounds like you're saying is, like, it feels less dated to you because
That's exactly, I guess, what I mean. Because a lot of the stuff that I found really groundbreaking at the time, don't get me wrong, there's some shit on 3 Feet High and Rising that I still think is fucking phenomenal. But yeah, it feels dated. This doesn't feel dated to me. I mean, it doesn't, I can date it. Like, you know, like I could
take it out to dinner.
Yes. Like, yes. And let it meet my mom. Yeah.
Mom, this is my CD.
Mom, this is Blazing Arrow. Blazing Arrow, this is Mom.
That name is so offensive.
So weird.
So, but you get what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I mean, I can see, like, I can feel like what the hip hop I was listening to in 2002 sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like that. But, you know, 3 Feet High and Rising, an album that I've listened to on countless occasions, definitely, you know, like, I can, it's wearing a very obvious dashiki. Let's put it that way. So
I wonder if that begs intent, right? Like, so I guess, like,
I don't know.
Yeah. I
don't think that, I don't think anyone sets out, especially like in the, you know, as I feel like De La Soul was a progenitor of taking old school hip hop into the 90s and into like the sample, super sample heavy stuff. Like, I don't feel like they were like, they set out to, in a conscious way, do, you know, thinking of what's going to happen in the future. They're just trying to make some music. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I wasn't there.
No, that makes sense. All right. So we teased this on the front end of the show. Shane, you had a track that you were taken by. You had one that was your favorite.
Well, there's
that we
two.
Were running?
I mean, like, the one that my favorite track on this record is 4,000 Miles, the one with Charlie Tuna, or we could listen to Make You Feel That Way, which was the first single, which is also good, but I don't know.
Maybe we should do Make You Feel That Way, because that was the one that they did.
Yeah, they're
that
both
that was kind of the flag
it, they're both,
ship of the yeah. release. Okay, yeah, let's do that one.
For the hope of a brand new day. See a homie you ain't seen since back in the day. Fresh haircut fitted with a fat ass fade. Into work we chillin' on a Saturday. How you felt when you first heard the daddy came? Rock MKRS, hey, I had that day. Coolin' out with old girl on a fat ass day. Find $100 bill, wow man, that's great. Get promoted at your job up to management. Plot a long time, finally your plan is made. In time I feel I wanna shout, man, it's real that way. Wanna think of things that make you feel that way. When your mama got your first bite. Type of feeling when you went and won your first fight. How your team felt winning championship game. Celebrate in a huddle, dancing in this rain. Have a thought, see a shooting star across your screen.
So do you feel that way?
I do now. That's a damn good song, man.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one they led with.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. That's the one they led with. That's all I was saying.
Oh, single-wise? Hey, I forgot to say this because it does have to be mentioned at least once in some context to drive Kevin up the fucking wall.
Oh, God.
But the second song that we listened to today, Nowhere Fast, that's the first song on the second Smiths record, or the first song on the second side of the second Smiths record, Meet His Murder, Nowhere Fast. So not that song, but a song called Nowhere Fast. So now that I've gotten that in there.
Well. Thank you. Thank you.
I think this might be the longest that we've ever gone.
Smith's Watch.
Into a
show without mentioning Smith's Watch.
I felt like something was missing. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Is it the anger that. It's like it radiates off his face like a cartoon
just
strip.
It's like a band crutch. He's like, it's like an itch he can't like not scratch.
Oh no! Now we're aware of it, and especially since Ryan isn't here, I've got to carry that torch.
No, it's fine. Whatever.
Well, hey, thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Really, thank you. You shouldn't have. Really,
you're
you
welcome.
Shouldn't have.
You got it, Chad.
You really shouldn't have.
Oh no!
Why
did you
do that? You shouldn't.
Nothing
have.
To speak of. No, it's okay. It's just my generosity, my friend.
So something that really that gets me about this kind of music, and
I thought you were gonna say this show.
Who boy?
Um, And I'm a latecomer in a lot of this stuff. Like, I was just mentioning to you guys off the air, like, the Kleptones sampled cuts from this song.
And they're an act that does mashups of...
They do mashups, yeah. And there's a lot of other crossover stuff in there other than just their mashups of Blackalicious. I mean, there's other connections there. But one of the things that I really love about this album is the fact that there's a lot of sampling going on, as we mentioned about, like, Harry Nilsson and such.
Right.
But also, just the way that it's produced, there are things that feel like samples that it's original material. It's net new material. And I just really like the way that they weave all of that stuff together, and you can't even tell.
Well, and to your point, when we were listening to this earlier and during one of the breaks, Chad was like, I don't even, like, one of the songs that we played, he's like, I don't even know what number song that is. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I am talking for you. You're right here. But Chad was like,
I was going to say, do I have to clear my throat?
You sound like you're his mom is speaking up for him.
Yes. Chad says these are the songs he wanted.
I listened to this record so many times from the day that I got it that summer when it came out. Front to back in my car, you know, without the jewel case in front of me to look at song titles. So when Shane was mentioning the Ben Harper song earlier, I was like, which one is that? You know, like it all just blends into, it's a whole piece for me.
And to that end, the other thing that you said when we were in between takes that I don't think you've mentioned when we were recording was that you cover the solo record?
Yeah, I want to say in like 04, 05, Gab put out a solo record without Excel by the numbers. I don't recall who did the production on it,
right,
or whether it was kind of, brought in a bunch of people. But it was definitely a couple steps down from this because, when you listen to it, you just see like the magic that Excel is doing it, creating like this palette of just like so many colors and so many textures. And the solo Gift of Gab record, which is okay, like he's still a gifted lyricist, but there was just something definitely missing. And so yin and yang, man, like these two together are unfuckwithable is the word that comes to mind.
A peanut butter cup, as it were.
That's beautiful.
I have no idea what that means.
Is that in the Urban Dictionary?
It's like, yeah.
Unfuckwithable?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
So that's Blackalicious Blazing Arrow. Who had, Shane, did you have the last track tonight?
It's me tonight. Yeah,
very excited.
I'm not excited. I'm not. I'm only excited because I've already made you mad once tonight.
I'm not mad.
Keeping in the hip-hop vein, you're not now. Keeping in the hip-hop vein, I would like to listen to the debut or watch the debut video by Bad Baby. It's called Hoes. It's H-E-A-U-X. And we'll come back on the other side and talk about it.
Everyone, I'm Maureen O'Boyle. Welcome to A Current Affair for this Friday, February 5th.
I ain't nothing like these hoes. Don't compare me to no one. Money green like a CeeLo. Yeah, my pocket's so swollen. I ain't nothing like these hoes. Don't compare me to no one. Money green like a CeeLo. Yeah, my pocket's so swollen. Look, these hoes be fake flossing. Fake ass jewelry got a neck rash. These hoes be fake balling. Tax money that she won't. They messy, they run in their mouth, they so petty. These hoes, they feed off attention. Zero time, that's what I give.
Sorry, that was these hoes, not hoes. What the fuck is wrong with me? So, yeah, so that was, can't remember her last name. My phone's dead, so I can't pull it up. But her name is Danielle, and she was on Dr. Phil a few months ago and had 15 minutes of fame for saying, like, cash me outside. But somehow she parlayed that as a 13-year-old utter moron into a record deal. There were some relatively decent money in that video. And one of the more boring, there's nothing even overtly offensive about it. It's just fucking boring as shit, dude. Mm. Like everything about that.
So I have thoughts.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Related to your 15 minutes thing, back when I was a newspaper writer, I had a section that was called the 1459 Awards. Like the people who have had their time needs to end.
Yeah.
How would you like to be the producer of that track? Like, or, no, let me back up. How would you like to be a promising young producer? You know, someone who has got some skill and is just trying to make their break and get something that'll chart. And you've produced what's pretty a fairly solid beat and has been bought by a
That's true. That is true.
And you know, your agent calls you, hey, Mr. DJ X. Great news. Atlantic's just going to feature this beat that you've made on what's a single that they're putting all their muscle behind. It's going to be great. Awesome. Who is it?
Danielle Bregoli, Bad Baby. Who's that? Well, she's 13.
Yeah.
And she said, Cash Me Outside.
And you find out it's the Cash Me Outside girl. And you know, you're like, well, I guess it, you know, do the checks clear? Yeah, okay, the checks clear. That's right. Also, another thing about that video, the entire video is a tracking shot.
Yeah, that's I noticed true. That too. Yeah.
So I was like, everything about that video other than Danielle is okay.
Yeah, that's like, what I was saying. Like, the beat's good. That's why I say a relatively decent video. But that hook where she's like, you know, I'm not like these hoes. I ain't like these hoes or whatever. Like, it's boring and not. And she actually, I will say this. She's not that bad on the mic. Like she had a well, like yeah. You know, give her a little bit of incubation time. I mean, subject matter, she's an idiot.
I know.
Subject matter was idiotic.
I don't know who the writer of those lyrics were though. Too.
I mean, it seems
so
like
she
basically
was playing karaoke. I think probably.
Yeah, of course. But who doesn't?
Yeah,
in that
true.
Genre.
I also liked in the video the one there were some people protesting outside the building. And
oh yeah, mothers again. Like,
you know, there was a sign that said, "We will not catch you outside."
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's cute.
Yeah, it seems like basically the narrative of the video is that there are some other women or girls, you know, we'll call them hoes, like however you spell it, H-E-A-U-X.
H-E-A-U-X.
Yes, I guess it's ho, the collective ho.
Right.
And, you know, and she's not like them. Like, that's just what she wanted
I
to say.
I will be... You know, I wish there was some way to monitor the various dance clubs on Dirty Sixth Street this weekend.
Oh, good
to
Lord.
See
if Hose is playing
this well, song.
Here's the thing.
I'm guessing it probably will.
It's already charted. It's the highest charting debut for a rapper under the age of 15, I think, or minor, or maybe 18 or whatever. Like, it's charted high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also, you know,
well, Crisscross and Little Bow Wow, that's some competition to beat.
Well, true, but I can't remember exactly what the with this.
How'd
if
you
it
like
were
that
solo record? Yeah, I know, no shit, right? If it were a solo record or whatever, but highest debut, like in some
sure
in some way, like, but let's just say this, like I feel like she is overall
13.
The Archies for the millennium.
I don't know, man. I do
just
think
cut the podcast right there.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe. I do think like there are a couple of things. One, she did the whoever shot the video, like they did seem to be taking a little bit of a poke at the Kardashians, which
yes.
I noticed with the one model
and
that
I think,
was getting the
right. The getting the lips plumped up.
Uh-huh.
And thinking there are probably some other references in there that I didn't even notice because contemporary music is.
Well, I couldn't understand a thing she was saying with all the constant vocoder.
I
like,
heard her say CeeLo in there at one
yes.
point. Yes. And then.
Oh, okay.
And then maybe something about something being swollen, but that's about all I got.
Swole. It was swole, Mark.
Swole.
Oh, it was swole?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
it's just hard to understand anything she was saying.
Hey, thanks for that, Shane.
Oh, I knew you'd love it.
I do. Who's got the next one?
I do. Mine's next week, and I had two different albums. So there was one good and one bad. One good angel, one bad angel. You know, I feel like we've had too many great records in a row. So, and we also haven't gone back to like white dudes in the 70s, even though you couldn't tell their color actually in the 70s. But and we also have never done a live record on this show. So
is that true?
What?
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, have we ever done a live record?
Live comedy, maybe.
Yeah, comedy, but not music.
Okay.
So all of taking that all into account, Let's do Kiss Alive.
Oh, okay.
Because I know how much we all love Kiss, and you know, maybe we'll find something in that. I've never actually listened to it.
We'll do Wall to Wall, Gene Talk, and then maybe Scott Stapp will do something stupid, and we can get Morrissey in the end. It'll be perfect.
Look,
it's like nobody has to study anything.
I've already. Hey, look, we've only talked about Gene Simmons twice.
Yeah, which is considerably less than he talks about himself. So
that is true.
It all works out. Hey, anyway, I guess until next week, I'm Kevin.
I'm Shane.
I'm Mark.
I'm Chad.
This is Somebody Likes It.